In a world where high school sports don't exist. Wait, no. We don't like that world. Different world, please. Ah, that's better. The Central Valley Sports Report starts now.
Good morning, everyone. This is the Central Valley Sports Report, and I am your host, Paul Metters. April 2nd, 2022. Yesterday was April 1st, obviously April Fool's Day. Scrolling through Twitter yesterday, it wasn't that much fun because you didn't know what was truth. You didn't know what was fiction, an April Fool's joke. I just saw a lot of silliness out there. I don't know. Did you guys do anything for April Fool's? You get tricked. It seems like every year, you know, there's something big that goes out there. I have a friend, his name's Ronnie, and he put on Facebook that his birthday is April 1st, even though it's not April 1st. And so it never fails. People always wish him a happy birthday on Facebook, so I always get a big kick out of that. So, yeah, April 1st is come and gone. April 2nd, we're going to be talking about sports, high school sports mainly, for the next 2 hours every Saturday here on 1430 ESPN. Here at First String Sports on Herndon and Sierra Avenues in between Bullard and Herndon, to be honest. First String Sports is the place to be. They hook me up here in the Letterman's Jacket room. I got this banner that says Central Valley Sports Report with Paul Metters on it. So, yeah, they've been my day ones sponsors. They've been incredible. So come on down here, First String Sports. It's going to be an interesting week as far as the weather goes. I think it's going to get as high as 96 degrees on Thursday, and then it's going to have another cool down. It's definitely baseball season. When I walk in here at First String Sports, I always look to the right and look at the baseball gloves there against the wall. To my right are all the baseball bats. So, yeah, come on down here. These guys are great. They will definitely hook you up with all your sporting needs. So, what's going on today? I got a big show. Obviously, like every week, talk to Gabe Camarillo. That's going to be coming up after the break. He's producing the show. Gabe and I chatted up about all the happenings around the Central section. We go to a couple games a week, so we like to report on that. And we have our 1430 ESPN Student Athlete of the Week from Clovis North. Baseball player named Cole Fellows. An excellent, excellent baseball player. He's an outfielder. He's hitting .486 this year. Has three bombs. Hit two against Liberty. We're going to be talking about that great game that he had against Liberty Bakersfield. Signed to play at Columbia. So he's going around 3,000 miles across the country to play for Columbia. Great student athlete. So he's going to be coming in around 10:30. Be talking with him, getting to know Cole a little bit better. In hour number two, so coming up a little bit after 11 o'clock, we're going to have two segments with a couple near and dear people to my heart. They're from Emmanuel. They are the baseball coaches at Emmanuel. Kip Thiessen is a first-year head coach at Emmanuel High School there in Reedley. And perhaps you've heard of his dad, Tim Thiessen, Fresno State Hall of Famer. Had a nice career in the minor leagues, has coached all over the place. He is the only baseball coach in Central Section history to win Valley Championships for three different schools. He's got four total, but for three different schools. He's got two with Emmanuel in 1993 and 1995. We're going to be talking about those two teams. He's got one with Bullard in 1999 and one with Clovis West in 2004, and that was the last one that Clovis West has won. So looking forward to that conversation with Tim and with his son Kip. They're both coaching together at Emmanuel, so we got a father-son coaching duo, just like Jason Pappy and Dad Ken over there at Fresno High. So that really looking forward to that. And Tim actually has a special story as well. Many of you know that he got West Nile virus and was near death, and he just has an incredible testimony that came of that. Just weight loss and just lethargic, so he's got an incredible story. So look forward to hear from Tim. Yeah, news and notes going around the central section. Something that came across the Twitter sphere is Jaden Mandel of Buchanan. He was a Fresno State baseball commit, and he's doing a really good job actually hitting this year for Buchanan. And his football career has really taken off. He's a quarterback. He had a really good season this last year. His sophomore year, he transferred from Clovis North, and he took the reins and didn't miss a beat. Sophomore year, obviously, that was a shortened season for football. But he has now flipped to Fresno State football. He committed on Twitter. He's getting a full ride scholarship. His star rating just came out, and he's a 3-star quarterback. He flipped to football. And he committed pretty early to Fresno State baseball. I believe it was his sophomore year. He's only a junior this year, so he's got one more year. His football career, like I said, just really took off. He's got a really good arm. He's athletic. He's a gamer. Reminds me a little bit of Trent Tompkins, the Central High star quarterback. He's elusive. I'll be talking with Gabe Camarillo about that. But, yeah, Jaden Mandel is now committed to Fresno State football. And with the full blessing of Coach Mike Batesol from the Fresno State baseball. So, yeah, that's big news. In softball, Clovis North, they just keep churning out wins. They're currently 10-0. They're ranked number 3 in the state, according to Cal High Sports. Number 5 in the nation by Max Preps. And their junior lefty, Ryan Maddox, Arizona commit, is just having a phenomenal season. Clovis High, on the other hand, is ranked 11th in the state. I want to mention Cal High Sports. I love their rankings. I mention them pretty much every week. Cal High does a phenomenal job with rankings and getting players' names out there. They do NorCal and SoCal Players of the Week. And the Central Section had a softball player that was named their Player of the Week. And her name is Presley Horick from Liberty. She's 11-2 with a 0.62 ERA, 5 shutouts, has a no-hitter, 105 strikeouts, and only 9 walks in 90 innings pitched. And she's hitting .524. On the flip side, SoCal's Softball Player of the Week is a name that sounds familiar. And you're probably wondering why I'm naming a SoCal kid. But there's a reason why. Her name is Kate Penberthy. She's from Hart High School in Newell, and she's the daughter of Mike Penberthy of Hoover High fame. He's currently an NBA coach for the Los Angeles Lakers, won an NBA championship with the Los Angeles Lakers. The Penberthys are famous in the basketball world around here. Aaron is Mike's brother, obviously uncle to Kate. John Penberthy, Aaron is teaching at Kasner, and John is the head basketball coach at Fresno Christian. So that was fun to see a Penberthy name as a SoCal Player of the Week. Baseball, turning to baseball. Buchanan is 8-2, and they have been the number one team, according to Max Preps, for the entire year. And I refreshed the Max Preps rankings this morning, and we got a new leader, guys. I was a little surprised, but Stockdale moved up to number one in the Max Preps rankings. And why is that important? Because that's how playoffs are going to be seeded. So Stockdale's number one at 12-0. Buchanan is number two at 8-2. Rigetti from Santa Maria is 12-0. They're ranked third. There's Clovis West. We had head coach Kevin Patrick on the show last week. Clovis West is 8-2. And there's Kerman. Kerman ranked number 5. Are they a Division I team? Nope, never have been. They are perennial Division III, Division IV, but there they are at number 5. They are 12-0. We had Devin Daniel, their star pitcher, on the show last week. Oh, which reminds me, I should say this. You can go back and listen to all the Central Valley Sports Report in podcast form. You can listen to all the episodes on the 1430 ESPN Fresno website. You could also listen to other shows like Off the Bench, that's from 2 to 4 on Saturdays as well. The Jose Gonzalez Show every day. You can download those shows and listen to those in case you missed one. 6 is Bullard. They are 10-3. Actually, they're 11-3. That's not updated. They had a huge comeback win against San Joaquin Memorial yesterday. I'm going to be talking with Gabe about that game, a game that I was at as well. There's Liberty of Bakersfield, who's a really tough team. They made it to the Central Section Championship game last year against Buchanan. Liberty is 9-4-1. They got that ugly tie. I hate baseball ties. I hate that one or two at the end of records. And then Hanford is 11-2 and number 8. I want to also mention a little update about Jalen Green. You know, he played at San Joaquin Memorial for his first 3 years and transferred to a prep school. Obviously, we've followed him, you know, the last couple years and followed his career, number 2 pick by the Houston Rockets. Well, he struggled, as most 19-year-olds will in the NBA. He struggled early this season just with some shooting percentages and slot shot selection and different aspects to the NBA game that you have to adjust to. But he has been playing excellent basketball the last 5 games especially. I got to watch most of his game against the Sacramento Kings, where he scored, I believe, 32 points in a loss. But his last 5 games, he scored 23, 25, 30, 32, and 33 points. He's made 29 three-pointers in his last 5 games, which is the most in NBA history for a rookie. 29 threes in his last 5 games. And he has the second most dunks in all of the NBA for guards. I think it's 59 dunks this year. So Jalen Green is absolutely tearing it up. All right. One last thing before we go to break. Again, I found this on Cal High Sports. I thought it was really, really interesting. Speaking of softball, talking about Clovis North and the excellent season that they're having. But, this isn't pertaining to the Central section, but I thought this was just incredible information. So there was a softball game that was played in San Diego County 2 weeks ago between Mountain Empire of Pine Valley and Liberty Charter of Lemon Grove. Mountain Empire won the softball game, and they won by 12 runs, all right? Okay, it's not that uncommon to win a softball game by 12 runs. However, can you guys guess what the score was? I don't know, 20-8? Nah. 18? Nah, let's keep going up. How about this? 42-30, a softball game. 42-30. Liberty Charter, the team that lost, led 21-10 after 2 innings. But then the other team scored 15 runs in the top of the third to take a 25-21 lead. Final, yes, again, 42-30. And guess what? That isn't even a state record for the most softball runs scored in a game. The record is 95, set in 2011 between Kumaya Valley and Coast Union. That score was 48-47. Unreal. Can you imagine doing the scorebook for that game? You'd run out of pages. All right, a little bit of a fun fact here on the Central Valley Sports Report. We come back after the break talking with Gabe Camarillo about that Bullard and San Joaquin Memorial game. A little bit about Fresno State football. Jaden Mandel now committing to Fresno State football as a quarterback. Yeah, looking forward to that. Talking with Gabe on 1430 ESPN. Welcome back to the Central Valley Sports Report. I am your host, Paul Meadors. You can follow me at Paul Meadors, PaulMeadors, ORS at the end, not Meadors or Meters, Paul Meadors. You can also follow 1430 ESPN at 1430 ESPN. You can also follow Gabe Camarillo on Twitter. He is a great follow. He does a great job updating people on scores throughout the Central section at Gabe Camarillo. Gabe, how's it going this morning? How you doing, my friend?
I'm doing good. I kind of rolled out of bed, put some flip-flops on, came over to the studio producing my usual 2 shows on Saturdays, yours and off the bench. So I got the Saturday routine down pat. It's a routine. It's like second nature. I know where my sandals are at. I know where my backpack's at. I know where my laptop's at. Just grab those 3 things and head out for the day.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah, I got a little routine as well. I leave the house every morning to go teach at 7:15. I got about a 35-40 minute drive every morning, and my internal clock, I usually wake up around 6:45. On Saturdays I do that and kind of get mad at myself. I'm like, I could at least sleep another hour this morning. I am allowed to do that, but sometimes I get really anxious about the show and I start thinking about it. So yeah, that's kind of my MO on Saturday mornings as well. Hey, Gabe, and I know you follow Fresno State very closely as well. You write for the Bark Board, but I just found a fun fact that was retweeted by friend of the show, Daryl Howerton, and regarding Orlando Robinson, and obviously Fresno State won their game yesterday at Coastal Carolina, and there's lots of speculation that Orlando is going to leave for professional basketball next year. He's got one more year of eligibility. Obviously, we would love to have him back. But Orlando Robinson finished the year with 700 points, 301 rebounds, and 103 assists. He's the 50th player in the last 30 years to finish with a season of 700 or more points or 300 or more rebounds. But among the guys in that group, he's only the second player in the last 30 years to also have 100-plus assists. So what a season for Orlando Robinson.
Absolutely. And you see at the moment last year, this time last year, he was looking to expand his game to be NBA ready. And he went to the NBA scouts and the NBA executives. He entered the NBA draft while maintaining his eligibility for one reason, and that was to get feedback on what he could do to improve his stock. And they told him, you know, you have to be adaptable to today's game. And in today's game, being a point forward is everything. So I really am impressed with what I've seen from Orlando this year, just his ability to be a point forward. He really runs that offense sometimes. He'll bring it up the floor. He'll get double teamed, so he'll nicely throw a pass to Anthony Holland or Isaiah Hill or a cutting Jordan Campbell or Deion Stroud. He's always able to find the open man, which is something he didn't do as much last year. But this year, he's doing it a whole lot more, and it's evident in that stat you just read. It's eye-opening, but it's not surprising because this is something that he's been working on all year.
The 100 assists is very impressive for a big man, and you're right, he is a very capable passing big man. He sees the court really well, you know, gets the ball at the high post, he could turn and face, and you know, he's done a lot of backdoor passes, and we'd love to have him back, but kind of all signs are pointing to Orlando Robinson leaving Fresno State, but we wish him luck. He's been a pleasure to watch over these last couple of years. Now, sticking to Fresno State, and I know you've been to Fresno State football spring practices. Was the news that Jaden Mandel's now flipped to football, did that surprise you? What have you heard about that? And this is pretty big news. We're excited about that.
Yeah, it was definitely big news for the Valley, for the Mandel family, for the Buchanan football family. It was just big news overall because to have a guy like Jaden Mandel, already capable enough in one sport to earn a D1 scholarship, to have him earn a D1 scholarship in another sport is just something you don't see these days. I mean, in these days, these student athletes are specialized in one sport. If you're playing football, then it's football year round and you got the 7-on-7 circuits in the spring. But for a guy like Mandel, and there's not many of them out there, I mean, Tyler Patrick's another two-sport athlete, and I'm sure Dayton Tafoya is another two-sport athlete as well because he's playing baseball right now for Central. But to have a guy like Mandel be so good at football and baseball to earn Fresno State scholarships in both is really something. And I don't think it's something – you mentioned Trent Tompkins-esque, right? I see some of that in Mandel, but he's pretty big for his age. You know, 6 foot, 200 pounds. That's a big reason why he got his 3-star. He's able to throw on the run. He throws these nice passes into the tight windows. I think of the Central game his sophomore year. For what he did as a sophomore to throw into a couple of tight windows and just get it on the money to receivers like Darian Gaines and Stephen Shelley and Josiah Ayona's a junior that year, just the ability he showed in that Central game, Cam Morrell tweeted afterward, you know, that is a D1 guy, Fresno yeah. State football, get him. And I'm sure Cam helped in the process as well as a lot of other people whispering in Fresno State's ear, hey, there's this kid at Buchanan Clovis that's really good. You should sign him or get him to commit. And when Tedford came in, I had a feeling he might have more eyes on the Valley than the previous head coach. And sure enough, look at what's happening. You got Mandel offered, and he committed. You got Brandon Ramirez offered. And I'm sure we're going to see a new string of Valley high schoolers get their offers now that Tedford is back in charge.
And it's always good for our Central Valley to have these local kids stay. And, you know, Fresno State's got a decent track record of producing quarterbacks. You think all the way back to Kevin Sweeney and obviously Jeff Tedford as well, Trent Dilfer, the Cars, right? I mean, just, you know, Jake Hayner right now, obviously, as well. So, yeah, Fresno State football. Jaden Mantle, I know his parents are huge Fresno State people. So, you know, flipping the script from baseball to football isn't a bad thing at all. So, yeah, Jaden Mantle. How about Jalen Cropper? We talked a lot about Jaden's today. Jalen Green mentioned how great he's doing the last five games for the Houston Rockets in the NBA. Jalen Cropper is somebody that has his sights on professional sports as well. How's he looking in spring ball, and what do you think that Jalen has to improve on to improve his stock to be drafted in the NFL this year?
Well, he could have left early this past offseason and didn't, and I still think he would have been drafted if he left early. So what does he have to do to just improve his draft stock and try to reach the first, second-round level? I think there's a couple things. It's really hard to choose one, though, because he does everything so well. He's so fast. They're going to move him now to the outside. He's been in the slot the past two seasons, but now they're going to try him outside, try someone else in the slot. They got a transfer from Cal, Nico Remigio, that might see some time in the slot. But now that Cropper's going to move outside as a wide receiver, you're going to see him probably be more explosive. He could probably beat a guy one-on-one on the edge. He can also use his route running ability to get open as well. He has more than one way than just his speed to get open. But obviously, you know, something that stuck out to me last year was the fumbles, and ball security is going to be an emphasis in this Tedford run offense. But I do think that if Cropper's able to replicate what he did last year, limit the turnovers, he's going to be in good position for a really high draft pick.
The punt return part of his game is huge as well. When I was researching Central Valley guys that are on the Fresno State roster, people forget that Jalen Cropper actually lists Parlier as his hometown, so that was fun to see. And you know, he went to Sanger, then transferred to Buchanan for his senior year. Yesterday, Gabe, it's always good to see you at baseball games, and I went to the Bullard and San Joaquin Memorial game, which was packed. Obviously, it's a huge rivalry between those two schools. They got two really good programs all across the board, football, basketball, and baseball. We had a high intense game, to put it mildly, and I know there was probably some leftover emotions from last year as well. But you know, Bowler found themselves down 8-3. They scratched back. They got one run here, two runs here, and I sent you a text. I said, yep, Bowler's going to walk it off. And sure enough, they came back and won in the bottom of the seventh, 9-8 in a hot game. What was your assessment of the game, and what did you see? I know you talked to Cam Schneider after the game as well and put that interview up at Twitter. But, yeah, what's your assessment of that game?
Yeah, one of the best games of the year, definitely. It's a hot rivalry, definitely, as well. I want to put that up there, one of the top five rivalries in the Valley right now, just because last year both these teams were loaded. And even though Memorial lost Sagusby and Saldivar from last year, and Bullard lost, you know, Cunnings and Brady Zvorek, these teams are still talented, and I still think both these teams are D1 level teams. So when you have that talent on the baseball field, tempers are going to flare. There was an incident at home play we both saw, Paul, where a Memorial runner ran over a catcher for Bullard. And I honestly think that was the turning point in the game. It was 8-3 Memorial when that collision at the plate occurred, and Memorial did not score again. Bullard scored six unanswered runs to take the game. And Cam Schneider, who, if you listen to the interview on Twitter that I had with him, he begged his dad for the chance to play in that game because of the rivalry, because of the CMAC league standings implications.
He's hurt. He's missed the last few games.
Exactly.
Right,
yeah. Leg injury. And I was standing next to his dad, and I literally saw his dad tell him no. Like, he picked up his phone. It was Cam calling him. The dad said, no, you can't play. Put it back down. Apparently, Cam was persistent, and the persistence, it paid off because he stepped up to the plate in the seventh inning, runner on second, one out, and hit a double to the right field gap. The condition was, Paul, that if he was going to play, because of the leg injury, he couldn't run. So he didn't run. He sped walk to first base and then got bombarded by his teammates who wanted to celebrate his walk-off.
Well, good thing he hit a double, right? If he would have hit a single, he might have got thrown out at first from the outfield.
Exactly, or like a ground ball, right? Like, if it's the shortstop, that might have been an inning-ending double play. But Cam's such a great player. It's worth mentioning, Cam Schneider's a Fresno State commit, so he's a junior. He's going to have another year here in the Valley. But the legend of Cam Schneider continues, and it builds on because of this performance. Gutsy.
Gutsy as well. So, Gabe, we got a couple minutes here. What'd you think of Stockdale now overtaking Buchanan on Max Prep? Stockdale, their strength of schedule is 6.7. Talking about baseball, 6.7. Buchanan's is 14.7. Buchanan has made a concentrated effort to play some teams up north and down south. Stockdale hasn't, you know, they whooped up on Garces the other day. I think they scored 22 runs. But, yeah, what's your assessment about that?
I can see why, because they're undefeated. I think the Max Prep rankings are pretty interesting. You mentioned Kerman's number five. Paul, you and I both know they're not the number five best team in the Valley. And I had a discussion with this on Twitter with a follower. Just, you know, some of these teams that are going to be in the top eight in Max Preps have big records, maybe undefeated, maybe one loss. But you have to look at who they're playing and the strength of schedule. Now, I do think Rigetti, the number three ranked team, is in the top eight. But I would put them at six. I would probably put Buchanan over Stockdale. I would put at the three spot Bullard. I think Bullard's the third best team in the Valley. Liberty, Bakersfield at four, Clovis West at five. I only have Clovis West at five because they lost to Bullard and Liberty, so they should be behind both those teams. And then I would put Rigetti at six. So those are my top six in that order: Buchanan, Stockdale, Bullard, Liberty, Bako, Clovis West, and Rigetti. Now, Kerman, that might be like the Mount Whitney boys basketball team this past season, where Kerman might just keep winning because they're that good with Devin Daniel on the mound, and they might find themselves in D1. So in that case, that's where we have the base divisions come into play. Is Kerman going to appeal to lower their base division so they don't play in D1? Stay tuned for more, because that's going to be an interesting development.
Yeah, absolutely. We'll keep an eye on that for sure. And again, no offense to Kerman and Coach Coleman. He called in last week when we had Devin Daniel on the show. Coach Coleman is a friend of the show, and I know he listens regularly. So, yeah, they know. I mean, when are we talking about Kerman? They're a perennial Division III, Division IV school. So they got a really good program over there, but it's a medium to small school. So that's not factoring here in the Max Preps ranking. So good stuff as always, Gabe. Good to chat with you. Coming up after the break, we got Cole Fellows from Clovis North Baseball. He is our 1430 ESPN Student Athlete of the Week. So Cole Fellows coming up next on 1430 ESPN. Welcome back to the Central Valley Sports Report. I am your host, Paul Metters. Gabe mixing it up with, man, got a little 21 Pilots. Got a little rock and roll as well here at First String Sports on Herndon and Blackstone. Yeah, come check it out. First String Sports is the place to be. So I teased that we got a stud baseball player from the track from Clovis North, and he is here. Cole Fellows is his name. He's hitting .486 this year. Decent batting average. You got to bump that up to .500. We got to get that to .500.
That's a nice, easy
number. He's got three homers on the year. He's had two against Liberty. We're going to talk about that. 11 RBIs in 10 games. Broncos are currently 5-4-1, and starting track next week already, starting league against Clovis West. So you got the three games, right? Three games a week. So when I texted Coach Jeff Prieto, your baseball coach there at Clovis North, I said, well, what about Cole as our 1430 ESPN Student Athlete of the Week? He said, that's a no-brainer. He said, yeah, absolutely. He's our guy. And he said, well, but we got baseball practice from 11 to 1 on a Saturday.
Right.
But he allowed you, in his good graces, to come here on the show. But yesterday, you got to watch one of your feeder schools.
Yeah, that's correct. We got to watch Fugman Elementary School. That's where I went to elementary school. Me and Colin DeBoard, who also went to Fugman, went to watch Fugman play Lincoln in the district championship elementary school game. And unfortunately, they got walked off on a little walk-off overthrow. You know how little league games go. But they played well, and it was fun to watch.
All right. And that's where you went to school. And then you went to Granite Ridge
To Granite Ridge. Yep.
So you're Clovis North through and through, right?
Yep, through and through.
I want to ask you, too, what's a typical practice at Clovis North look like? You mentioned how off the air how Coach Prieto is just, you know, obviously he's played at Fresno State,
right,
played for his father-in-law, Bob Bennett. What are practices like?
Yeah, so Prieto's had a lot of experience with college practices, so he always tells us that he tries to run the practice as similar to a college practice as he possibly can. So most days we'll start with our stretching. We'll give us about 15 minutes to stretch. We'll play catch. We have throwing programs for position players versus pitching players. And then we'll have our individual defense, which is like the outfielders go take fly balls, ground balls with Coach Brandon Simon. Mm-hmm. He always has new things for us, always working with us. And then the infielders will take ground balls with Coach Prieto, and Coach Dave Parker will hit ground balls as well. And then after that, we usually have some form of team defense, whether that be a bunt defense, first and third, long alignment, something of that sort. And then we'll get into our hitting, and we'll have 5 to 6 hitting stations, BP on the field, something like that. And then actually, we've started inter-squatting again. In the fall, we inter-squatted every day after the individual defense, and we started that up again as we've only had 2 games in the last couple of weeks, so we have to keep getting more games in.
Yeah, it's been a odd, interesting schedule. I've been trying to find games to go to the last couple of weeks. You know, we were at the Bullard-San Joaquin Memorial game yesterday, but looking at the schedule, I'm like, yeah, there's a big gap here. There's a gap here. It's just an odd, strange season. Speaking of inter squad, did you guys do that? What was this, a Halloween game?
Oh,
you guys
yes.
do that back in October?
Right.
Right?
Yeah. I'm always looking forward to that game. Actually, the last year we didn't have it because of COVID.
Okay.
And then the 2 previous years I was still playing football. So I was at a football practice and I just got to watch through the fence at the game. So I was actually really excited to get out there and play in that game.
What's that look like? Describe what that game looks like to everybody out there. You guys are dressed up in whatever you want to wear, like a Halloween costume, and you guys are playing a literal game in your Halloween costumes, right?
Yeah, just a normal inter-squad game. Obviously a lot more casual, a lot more fun, but Prieto still wants us playing hard, whether we're in a banana peel costume, Joker costume, whatever it is. We're still running the bases, hitting the ball, running around, having fun. It's just fun.
What's the goofiest costume that you've seen out there? One that you guys laugh at. You're like, dude, how can you even throw a baseball or something?
A couple years ago, Isaiah Munoz dressed up in a big inflatable, I think it was like police officer costume. So his arms, he couldn't move them. He's like a T-Rex, and he still managed to put the ball in play and ran and kicking up all over the place. It was really funny.
That's a lot of fun. Yeah, I always enjoy seeing those videos and those pictures right around October, or obviously right around Halloween, and those fun events. All right, let's get back to your childhood and growing up. What are your first memories of baseball? Did you play T-ball growing up? Do you remember playing your first game of catch?
Oh, yeah,
like
I remember playing T-ball a little bit, but really I remember just being in the driveway, being on the road with my dad with a wiffle ball bat, and he's just flipping me balls. I'd hit it, run, go get it, bring it back, hit it the other way, run, go get it. That's really where I remember my first days.
And you swing left-handed.
Yes.
And you're an outfielder. Mm-hmm. And you throw left-handed or you throw right?
I throw right-handed.
You throw right-handed. Yeah. Was that something that your dad instilled with you from the beginning, swinging left-handed, or did you just naturally pick up a bat that way?
No, my dad told me I picked up the bat, and I stepped up left-handed, and he's like, you sure that's how you want to do it? And I just said, yep, that's the way it feels, and that's the way I've always done it.
Have you tried to swing right-handed? What's that look like?
Oh,
it's not pretty?
It's horrendous. Probably the worst right-handed swing you'll see.
I tried that with my middle daughter, Alex. I tried to put a bat in her hand and swing left-handed, mm-hmm. and, it didn't translate really well, so
right.
we switched to right-handed. But, swinging left-handed, if you're a right-handed player, I've seen some pretty ugly swings, so I can imagine what your right-handed swing looks like being a left-handed hitter. Who's your favorite baseball team right now?
Dodgers. LA
right
Dodgers,
right
for
here.
Sure, without a doubt.
Yeah, I am too. I know, Jorge, one of our ESPN producers, is looking at me and shaking his head. Obviously, 1430s, San Francisco Giants through and through. And I live in a land of San Francisco Giants fans. But, us Dodger guys, we got to stick together. Who are your guys? Obviously, Mookie Betts, right? Dodgers are loaded this year, but who are your guys?
Well, it was definitely sad to see Corey Seager walk away from the Dodgers. He was without a doubt my favorite Dodger at the time. This year, I'm really liking Chris Taylor. He's able to play all over the place, really gritty player. And then I'm excited to see what Freddie Freeman has in store for us, you know?
Yeah, the rich get richer, right? That's what I hear from my Giants friends. When we got Freddie Freeman, again, I said we, when the Dodgers got Freddie Freeman, Yeah, that lineup is absolutely loaded. And I just saw that Max Scherzer this morning, too, for the Mets. He had to shut down. His arm is barking, and Jacob deGrom is hurt. So, the Mets are a cursed franchise right now. And, Scherzer couldn't pitch in that playoff game. He had a dead arm. But, hey, the Mets are like, we'll give you whatever, $150 million, whatever the Mets gave him. But so Dodgers, excited to see Freddie Freeman. You mentioned Chris Taylor. Why do you like those guys? What do you like about their game?
I like the fact that Chris Taylor has the ability to play all over the field. Anytime he's in the game, he's contributing in some clutch situation. And then I like that Freddie Freeman, when he came to the Dodgers, he was instantly recognized as a team leader, good guy to be around. And not only he has one of the most beautiful left-handed swings in the game, so I will enjoy watching that and learning from him.
You can appreciate that.
Absolutely.
Nice, beautiful left-handed swing. And Freddie Freeman is a SoCal guy, so it's a homecoming for him. So we mentioned how you're a Clovis North kid through and through. When you played for Granite Ridge, do you remember just thinking, I can't wait to play varsity baseball. I can't wait to play on that field.
Oh, yeah. I remember watching for like the – we just had it. The – what was it called? When the elementary schools come.
Yeah, feeder school.
The feeder school night. Yeah. Yes, the Clovis North feeder school night. And getting to watch the Clovis North Broncos play on the home field. And then I think they ended up winning the game I watched. And I remember watching them in the huddle talking to I think it was, at the time it was Chris Patrick still.
Yeah.
And getting to watch them – huddle up, get their break, and I was like, I can't wait to be on that field under the lights in those beautiful Columbia blue uniforms.
Yeah. We'll talk about Columbia in a little bit as well. Is this your third year in varsity? Did you play varsity as a sophomore?
Yeah, I played varsity as a sophomore. I was at first base, and I switched over to second base when Casey Brownell got hit in the head.
Oh, yeah, I remember that. Yeah, that was nasty. You ever pitch?
They were thinking about getting me in to pitch this year, but I think they mostly wanted me to just focus on hitting the ball and leading us out in center field.
Okay, all right, that's smart. Talking with Cole Fellows from Clovis North. Yeah, we mentioned the season how strange it is with a lot of these gaps, right? Buchanan, where they went a whole week without playing. You guys only had one game this week, but it was a huge game. It was a 26-0 win over Sunnyside. You had two hits and three RBIs in that game. Are blowouts fun? Obviously, you guys are putting up stats and you're putting up runs, but would you rather have a blowout like that, or do you like tight, intense games?
I personally enjoy the tight, intense games, like the one we had against Liberty Bakersfield. The energy through and through that game was unmatched to any game I've played in my high school career so far. But it is nice to be able to see all of our players get in the game, get their at-bats, and find success as well.
And we mentioned that your two home runs against Liberty Bakersfield, they have one of the top players in the state of California in Cutter Coffee. That guy, he didn't pitch that game. He could throw up to 94 miles an hour. He's a really good shortstop as well, committed to the University of Texas. But what was going through your mind on those two homers? Like, were they fastballs, curveballs, first of all? Remember what you hit?
Both of them were fastballs, I believe.
You sitting dead red on those?
Yeah. The first at-bat of the game, actually, for us, I was just focusing on – I was leadoff guy that game. I was just focused on get on base and making hard contact. That's what I usually do, is just try and stay up the middle. And then I ended up getting a hold of it pretty well, and it flew over the fence, and I'm just running out on bases, and it was a great way to start the game for us, for sure.
That was you led off the game with a homer?
Yeah.
All
for
right.
Us, yeah.
And then your second home run, did that tie the game?
Yeah, it did in the bottom of the seventh inning, I believe. Tied the game, led off the inning again, and I just trying to put a good swing on it, found some more barrel, and it was a good game for sure.
Yeah, that's usually what happens. When you don't try to hit a home run, you just put a good swing on it, it finds the other side of the fence. When you got to home plate after you tied the game in the seventh inning to make it 4-4, what were the guys saying? What was that celebration like?
Oh, man, it was loud. It was loud, and it was exciting, and we knew that we were in that game. We had a rough go at it the first time we faced them, and then we were lucky enough to have a second chance at them. The whole time we were fired up. We were expecting big things, and it was great to see us come together, and we knew we had a chance to win that game.
In batting practice, can you go opposite field? Have you hit opposite field home run in batting practice?
I've hit one or two.
Yeah?
I've hit one or two.
All right.
But definitely the power side is to the middle. the middle right side for so far.
Who are some teammates that you want to give shout-outs to? Who are some guys that are bringing the juice this year for you?
Oh, boy. Cooper Palmville, without doubt, is one of our best leaders on the team. He's our first baseman. Big boy is raking this year.
Yeah.
Picking up right where he left off last year. He's probably hitting pretty similar to what I am. We're competing for hits. Every game, it's like he gets a hit, and he's like, comes, pokes fun at me, and I'm like, now I have to get a hit to match him, you know?
Yeah.
So he's great to compete with.
And you got a young shortstop, too, a kid that played freshman last year, played as a freshman, Hurdle.
Oh, yeah, Jaden Hurdle. He's been doing very well on the mound again, and once again picking up right where he left off. And he's working through some things at the plate, but he's been very solid defensively, and he's starting to pick up. And I'm sure once we get into track, he's going to focus up, and he's going to be great.
You mentioned how Coach Prieto runs his practice like a college practice, right? What have you learned from Coach? Obviously, he's a next-level guy as well. You're going to be playing college at Columbia. But what has he instilled in you? How has he prepared you for the next level?
He is big on just having a good practice and staying focused throughout, forgetting about the day before and just focusing on the next game ahead of you. Because in college and right now, we have a big schedule this year. Lots of games to play, so it's important not to carry in your last game to the next one. It's just to focus on the game ahead of you.
Yeah, that's really important. Even at bat to at bat,
right,
as well. You can,
exactly.
you can look silly in one at bat, and then you got to put that behind you and focus on your next at bat. So talk about the college that you chose. Did you have any other options, and what that was like?
So Columbia saw me play end of my sophomore year at a show ball academic camp down in San Francisco. So I played well there against some older guys, and they put a follow on me. So basically they continue to watch like video and hear about me, but without really reaching out to me yet. And then actually they came to play Fresno State, and that's when I went to watch them play. I knew about them. I knew they're a great academic school and a great Division I baseball program. So I went to watch the game. I actually met Dan Tischler, the recruiting coordinator. He gave me his phone number, and I called him, and that's when really the contact between the two of us started. And then Thanksgiving break, I was lucky enough to have them bring me out to visit Columbia.
Oh, nice.
So that Thanksgiving break, I visited Columbia, and that night is when they offered me. And then the next morning, they told me to sleep on it. Next morning, I woke up, accepted it, and they were happy to have me, and I'm very grateful for the opportunity.
Oh, absolutely. It probably didn't take you very long. You're like, here, sign this. Oh, okay, cool. No, sleep on it a little bit. Sleep on
right,
it a
exactly.
little bit.
Right, exactly. I was not expecting it, honestly. I thought they were going to maybe wait a couple more weeks, let me think about it, think about some things, but then they offered me, and I was like, I didn't even know what to say. And then they're like, calm down, sleep on it, and then come back and take as much time as you need. Next, talk to my parents, and next morning I woke up and I was feeling like a Columbia Lion.
Absolutely, no brainer. Who went on that trip with you?
My whole family. So my dad, my mom, and my little brother Chase.
And I bet your parents were excited about that scholarship as well, right?
Something
you definitely earned. What do you want to study?
Probably gonna study finance. Think about becoming a financial analyst, or I'm going to take a business degree and go to law school and maybe get a job or look for a job in some MLB organization, being some form of lawyer.
Oh, wow.
But when I get there, I'm going to have to figure that out.
Oh, yeah. You got time. Mm-hmm. You got time, young man. figure that out. Yeah. They don't give scholarships. Columbia doesn't give scholarships, you know. They just don't throw them out to the wind. They make sure they get quality young guys, and you obviously are. Gosh, that is amazing. Are you going to be homesick at all? You're going to be quite a long ways away. Have you met some of the other guys, maybe some of the other recruits? Have you followed them on Twitter or anything?
Yeah, we actually got together a little group chat. So I've been talking to some of the players, and we've been talking about the games. We've been watching Columbia play, talking about some of the things we like, but I haven't actually met them in person yet.
Yeah, you will. When would you go? In August? Do you know that yet?
I don't know exactly when I'll be, but when I'll actually be going to New York, but it'll be sometime in August probably.
Where exactly is Columbia, like in regards to New York?
It's 100 blocks north of Times Square.
Really?
Yes. It's only about 3.5-4 miles from the dead red center of New York City.
Oh, my gosh. I didn't know that. Oh, yeah. You're going to have the time of your life there. All right. Yeah. We only got a couple minutes with Cole Fellows from Clovis North. I always like to ask guys a little bit more about some of your fun activities and things off the field. But you got some favorite movies? I'm a big movie guy. Do you like comedies? What are your types of movies? Like, you seen the new Batman or anything like that?
I have not seen the new Batman yet. A couple of my teammates have, and they said it's a very good movie. But I'd say Sandlot's one of my top movies, and then Napoleon Dynamite's one of my favorite comedies.
100%.
But really, I like to stream a lot of shows, so me and my family's actually been watching the show Yellowstone.
Yeah.
I don't know if you've heard of it.
Yeah, good stuff.
That's been
Kevin Costner.
Good show. Yeah, that's been a show that we've enjoyed watching together.
What about some other Netflix shows like Stranger Things?
Actually get into Stranger Things. I didn't watch that, but I watched Grey's Anatomy through and through back a couple years ago, and that was actually a good show that I enjoyed.
Yeah, my daughter got into a Grey's Anatomy kick as well. And I'd walk in and I'm like, you're barely on season 3, episode 4. You got like 17 more seasons to go through.
I just put it on mindlessly while I'm eating or whatever, and then eventually, I just got to the end of it, and I was like, huh, I didn't even realize. Really.
Right, find something else. Do you watch these Netflix shows with subtitles, or are you subtitles on or off?
No subtitles.
No subtitles. All right.
Unless it was the Squid Game show. I watched that with the subtitles.
I got through.
Don't exactly know my Korean.
Yeah, I got through an episode and a half of that, man. I couldn't take it. I had to shut that one down.
Really?
All right, Cole. Yeah, it was a little too intense for me. Cole, this was a lot of fun talking to you. Good luck to the rest of the way, man. We'll be watching the rest of the season with keeping an eye on you the rest of the year, and good luck at Columbia.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah,
thanks
a lot
for
of
having
fun.
Me.
All right, Cole Fellows from Clovis North. Coming up after the break, we got a double dip, a double dose of Emmanuel baseball. Tim Thiessen, Kip Thiessen, coaches at Emmanuel High School. Kip is the head coach of the Eagles, talking with them about baseball, history with Tim and Fresno State, minor leagues. Have a couple fun stories lined up for you guys. Coming up on the Central Valley Sports Report with Paul Metters on 1430 ESPN.
In a world where high school sports don't exist. Wait, no. We don't like that world. Different world, please. That's better. The Central Valley Sports Report starts now.
Good morning and welcome to hour number 2 of the Central Valley Sports Report. I am your host, Paul Metters, here at First String Sports. Come on down here for all your sporting goods needs. First String Sports is the place to be. And hour number 1, we had a good chat with Gabe Camarillo. Talked about that Bullard and San Joaquin Memorial game that was played yesterday, where Bullard came back after being down 8-3 to win the bottom of the 7th, 9-8. Great talk with Cole Fellows. Man, what a impressive young man he is. Very well spoken. He's headed to Columbia, about 3,000 miles away. I didn't realize that Columbia University was like right in the middle of Times Square. He said, what do you say, 100 blocks away or something like that from Times Square, right in the heart of New York. So if you want to go back and listen to any episode, if you missed hour number 1, you could go to the 1430 ESPN Fresno website and go under Central Valley Sports Report and listen to all back episodes. I mentioned how I have 2 special guests right now, and they're so special that I couldn't have 1 segment. I had to have 2 segments with these guys. So for the next hour, we're talking with Kip Thiessen and Tim Thiessen. They have found their way back to Emmanuel High School. Did a couple little detours here and there, and Tim is to my left, and Kip is over to my far left right now. And I got a special relationship with both of these guys. And with Tim, we're going to get into this a little bit later. But Tim and I have known each other for a long time. And we coached together for a year before you left me. Yep, and that's how I phrase it. You left me for another school. First of all, thank you guys for coming in. And when I first got this show, and it's just thinking ahead for during basketball season and baseball, who I was going to have. You guys were up there, and you guys, I waited until this moment to have you on for two segments. So thank you guys for coming on.
Thanks for having us, Paul.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
All right. Off the air, we were talking about fantasy baseball, and we were mentioning how I could spend a whole segment talking about fantasy baseball. But, Tim, you're not a big stat head. Kip, sounds like you are a big stat head.
Big
Tim,
stat.
You got the fifth pick overall, and you're asking my advice on who to take. I had my big fantasy baseball draft last week, but Bo Bichette, can't go wrong with him. Juan Soto, Acuna's hurt, Tatis is hurt. You could take a chance with Acuna. You're going to only miss a couple months. However, you got to get your super stud, right?
Right. Got to go for him when you got him.
And we have some of our guys that are listening to this, so we can't give away too many secrets here.
All right, I got you. All right, Kip, what pick do you have in the
– I got the ninth pick.
You got ninth? That's not bad. You got 12 teams, right? So you'll get your second-round pick pretty early, so you don't have to wait around too long. All right. Yeah, fantasy baseball, I really enjoy it, but we're not here to talk about fantasy baseball. Well, I need to mention, too, that Tim is the only coach in Central Section baseball history with baseball titles with three different schools, Emmanuel in 1993-95, Bullard in 99, and Clovis West in 2004. Right, Tim?
Right.
All right. Kip, you are the head coach at Emmanuel right now. This is your first year. How's the season going? What can you assess your team right now? What you guys are 6-7. You guys are 2-1 in league. You mentioned how the league is really strong this year. A lot of top-level teams in league this year. So how would you assess your team this year, and where are you guys at?
6-7 on the year. Obviously, would like to be a little bit better, but we went into this year trying to put together a tougher schedule than usual. We were in the Fowler Tournament, and every game was a tough game. Good competition. We saw a good pitcher every game, Reedley High, Madera South. So I was happy with the turnout in that tournament. And then obviously starting league 2-1, can't go wrong. I had a big win against Kingsburg and Exeter, two schools that are traditionally good and having good years this year. So I'm pleased with where we are right now. We're only getting better. We got a few guys that are stepping up, and they're new to the team, so excited to see how they're going to do in the next couple weeks. So,
and that Kingsburg game was to start off league, right?
Yeah, that was the first league game at Kingsburg.
And it was one of the Hirschhorns pitched?
Uh-huh. We saw the lefty. He's a good pitcher. Heard a lot of good things about him, and we just had the mindset that we were going to play small ball and just try to get to him early. Obviously, a lot of respect for that program and Coach Cranford. They're doing a good job. So getting a win there, that was big for us. And it's always nice to start league off 1-0.
And who are some of your dudes this year? You got a pretty good number one pitcher, don't you?
We got a good number one. His name's Joseph Orris. He's kind of under the radar. He doesn't throw that hard. He's kind of like a Greg Maddux. he can locate, just a competitor. He's tough on the mound. He hits the spots, and he's just a guy that we can go to in any big game. So he's not that big size-wise, but people overlook him, and he'll sneak up on you, and he'll pitch a good one.
And your schedule, you guys, there's seven schools in your league, right? And you're only playing – only, I should say, because the track is going three games a week. But you guys play two games a week? Is that how it works?
Mm-hmm. Two games a week.
Do you feel like – like what tournament do you have coming up? You guys playing at Easter?
We're in the Selma tournament, and that's going to be a tough one. We got Kerman, who's having a good year. They're undefeated so far. And then we got Madera South again. So they got some pitchers. We'll probably see them. That's just how it's been in the past. So we're looking forward to it. So I'd rather play good teams and prepare for playoffs and be well-tested. So I'm just saying bring it on. I mean, it should be fun.
We've had a couple Madera South games that we broadcast on 1430 ESPN. And obviously Murph Gray is one of the top talents in the Central Section. And got to see him pitch up close. I think he had – actually, last night he had 14 strikeouts and 6 2/3 in the win against Madera. The game that that we broadcast against Edison, actually Edison's pitcher threw a phenomenal game, and they beat him 3-0. Kip, I want to ask you, too, about your route to Emmanuel, but – You came back as an assistant, right?
Right.
And coached a little bit at JV baseball. How did you land the head job, and what was that experience like?
So I started off at Hoover High School back in 2009 to 2012, and I coached under Sam Flores, which was a good mentor. He showed me a different angle of the game, and I learned a lot from him. And then in 2013, I came over to Emmanuel to help Josh Franco. My cousin was playing at the time, so I wanted to coach him, and it was a fun experience. And then Took a little bit of a break and then came back in 2017, was the JV head coach for a season. And then for the last 4 years, I was the pitching coach. So coach under Coach Franco, obviously Ryan Wood, he was helping out at the time, good mentor as well. Me and Josh were pretty close, and he decided he had another opportunity to go to Fowler, and the door opened. And I said, this is it. This is my time. So if I don't apply for this, then I'm going to kick myself. So I said, this is my shot. I'm going to give it a go, and obviously good things worked out. So an interesting route, but this is I always wanted to be a head coach somewhere, and the door opened up, and I took advantage of it.
And then when you get named a head coach and director of sports, sometimes what they call the head coach now, because you oversee the entire program, you got to assemble your own staff, your own coaching staff. And one that I need to mention, too, is Steve Ramirez, who's my principal at Traver, and he's a big Emmanuel guy. And so you got him on staff, but you got another guy on your staff, right?
Yeah, he's all right.
He's all right.
He's all right.
He's seen a couple baseball games now and then, right? So was it a no-brainer to bring your dad on staff? What was that conversation like?
Well, when I interviewed for the job, one of my selling points was I have good coaches that would help me out. So obviously with his background and all the wins and success, that was a no-brainer. Obviously, I have to keep him in check sometimes because it gets a little rowdy, but this is my time. I get to reverse it, and now I get to tell him what to do, so it's been good. And then we got Garrett Brown. He played at Sanger for his high school career, and then he pitched at Fresno City for a little bit. He's been a good addition. He's been helping out with the catchers and the outfielders. He's done a phenomenal job. We've never really had a guy to do catchers. And then Steve Ramirez, I mean, you can't go wrong with him. He's a good mentor, somebody that keeps me in line, and he knows the game. So he's good with the players, good mentor, very consistent, very stable, and that's what we needed. So I couldn't ask for a better crew. I mean, we have one of the best crews in the Valley. I can tell you that right now.
Talking with Kip Thiessen, head coach at Emmanuel. So, Tim, did he, like, formally ask you to be, hey, Dad, all right, you want to join me? How did that all go down when he asked you to coach? And and then did you have to think about it? Obviously, you're driving from Fresno Clovis as well, right?
Right. Yeah, so, you know, for me, I was at the point where I was perfectly content with not coaching ever again unless it was just the right situation. And I knew, and I was encouraging Kip to go for the job, and of course we were supporting him, my wife and I. And when he got the job and asked me to be the coach, it was just a no-brainer. It's like, how can I not do this? This is just a great opportunity to just do life with my son. And it was a no-brainer. And I appreciate the opportunity that he gave me to do that, and he thought enough of me to bring him onto his staff, so I'm really appreciative of that.
How's the arm? You throwing BP at all?
Well, I'll tell you what, it's not what it used to be, but I think I still have some bullets left in my arm and throwing BP to do it day in, day out like I used to, no, but there's still something there to where I can still contribute in that area with BP, et cetera.
How's your fungo game?
Fungo game, I've actually kind of turned it over to Garrett Brown, and so he's taking care of that and doing it a lot better than I can. He's got more power into the gaps when it comes to double cutoffs now. Those doubles in the gaps and the launching power is gone for me. It's only something I can think about now. So I've learned to just kind of turn over those things to the younger guys.
Yeah, the younger guys. Kip, you're a Clovis West grad. What year did you graduate?
2007.
2007. And, Tim, when was your last year coaching at Clovis West?
2007.
So you guys have come full circle as well. So, Kip, I want to ask you, too, about your coaching style and what you've learned throughout the years. You obviously have that great mentor in Sam Flores, and you mentioned Coach Wood and Franco as well. What are your takeaways? What did you learn from your dad and watching him and taking things from him?
Playing for him, he was pretty hard-nosed. He's really big with the small, finer details, and that's something we haven't been doing much in the last few years. Just making sure that the mechanics are sound and up point, but the intensity also. He brings a different intensity to the program. He doesn't let up on people, so we're trying to stay intense and motivate these kids and just keep them accountable, having them work hard each and every day. When they're making mental mistakes, we correct them and hold the kids accountable, and just bringing in a winning expectation each and every day. Not settling for a loss, doing whatever we can, take it one inning at a time. Every pitch matters, and just breaking down the small things. I mean, I think we've done a really good job with bringing that. It's been kind of a culture shock for some of the guys, but Coach Franco, he did a good job too. So he had a good style, and he ran a great ship. So we're just trying to continue it and just keep the good times going. Emmanuel Baseball has been good for a long time.
Yeah.
So, I mean, a lot of good history. So it's an honor to be there. But bringing that Clovis West D1 style, it's been good for this program.
Talking with Kip Thiessen and Tim Thiessen from Emmanuel Baseball. I want to talk a little bit about the complex over there.
Yeah.
We went there for two football games. We broadcasted two football games, and County Line Stadium is just a great venue. And then you look to the right, and you got the baseball complex, two baseball fields, two softball fields. I want to let you explain it, right? Can you just give everybody out there just a visual and try to explain what the baseball fields look like and just what a great complex it is?
It is such an awesome setup. I mean, the way it is right by the river, it's the best kept secret in the valley. So a lot of people don't know about it still. The fields are top notch. We have a crew that's out there. They do a really good job of just maintaining it and just making it look good for every game day. During the wintertime, it stays warm by the river and it's nice. It's a good place to go watch a football game. And then obviously during baseball, it's just, you can't beat it, especially a night game out right there. It's just an awesome place. It's kind of like the Field of Dreams. So you go out there and you're blown away. You're like, I didn't even know this existed.
Yeah.
And it's fun to be part of that.
It's two baseball fields next to each other, and I don't know, what do you call that? A circle, and then two softball fields, and they all meet in the middle, and spread out.
I think that's the best softball field in the valley, if you ask my personal opinion. And good things are happening there too, with Ryan Wood being the assistant, and just a great setup. I mean, it's awesome to go out there and watch a baseball or softball game. I would say it's the best JV field in California. You go out there, and people are like, this is better than most colleges. You go out there, you're blown away. So. A top-notch field. It's fun to be a part of that.
Well, okay, best JV baseball field in the Valley. Now, I have to mention this. So I coached at Emmanuel in 1995 was my first year. I coached with you, Tim. We won a Valley championship. And then, like I said, you left me. You went to Reedley High for a year. And Ryan Wood took over the varsity program, and then I became the head JV coach. And we talk about the complex. When was it built again?
2016.
So obviously the complex wasn't there yet, wasn't even thought of. But the JV baseball field at Emmanuel, right, you're laughing already, Tim. I had to build that darn thing, and me and Coach Wood, we had to build that thing from scratch every year. Mm-hmm. We had to bring some farming equipment. Luckily, Emmanuel got a lot of farming connection. Mm-hmm, yeah. Bring some equipment out there, dig up the dirt, cut out the base paths, put up a temporary fence, try to get out all those little bullheads out of the, you know, those weeds out. And it definitely doesn't look like the JV field doesn't look like it does today.
No.
We had to put up that cheap, plastic temporary fence. And the right field was the parking lot. And I made the rule where if it clipped a tree at the very top of the tree, it still counted as a home run, mm-hmm. right? I had to make up my own rules on that field. So that's what I was dealing with back in the 90s.
Right, and if you hit the ball too far, you're going to break the window of the front office, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, left-handed power hitters, man. You could hit the front office in that JV field. Tim, I want to ask you this too. What are some of the qualities that you see with Kip as far as what do you see in yourself? Do you see anything in yourself that you see in your son?
Yeah, probably too much. Actually, it's just kind of a natural connection between the two of us. It's a lot of times we blow each other away about just when we talk about what we're going to do for practice and. You know, what I'm thinking, he's thinking, it's like, man, I can't believe that you were thinking what I was thinking, because that's exactly what I thought we were going to do today. And it's just, you know, I we've talked about this many times, the type of ball that we are incorporating in our program started from Pete Biden, mm-hmm. down to Bob Bennett. And then, of course, through me, who played for Coach Bennett. And, you know, Kip played for me. And so we just kind of have that togetherness and connection there, much like farmers might get together and know exactly how to farm out on a farm, which I don't know how to farm, but it's the same thing in out on the baseball field. But if I can add this too, I've always felt like Kip was the best kept secret in the area, and I always thought that he could make a very, very good head coach. And he does a really, really good job, and he has a really good rapport with kids. He knows how to meet them where they're at, and he knows how to speak into their hearts, and he's done a really good job of that.
Talking with Tim Thiessen and Kip, I'd like to explore that a little bit more. Tim, you've seen a lot of baseball over your years, and the game has changed, and I think being able to reach kids has changed as well. Kip, how about for you, though? You know, your dad mentioned getting to the heart of players. Why do you think that's important this day, being able to find that connection where you're might be hard on a kid, but you're hard on that kid for a reason, because right. You want to see them improve because it's for the good of the team, right? But yet after practice, you could pull them aside and say, hey, this is a reason why I'm on you like that, and they can respect you for it. How are you able to find that balance?
Well, that's crazy, because my first time as a coach, I did it for the wrong reasons. I did it because it was all about me. I wanted to win, and we did whatever we could to win. But after I took a break and I came back, I reevaluated my role as a head coach. I learned that you have one of the most inspiration chances to pour into somebody. You can have a relationship with kids. You can teach them a lot of life lessons and just prepare them for life. And I always tell guys, if I'm hard on you, it's because I care about you. I said, you should be worried if I stop getting on you. So I get the opportunity to mentor these kids. I love these kids. I've seen them grow up from 7th, 8th grade on, and just the chance to be their coach is just an honor. And I get the chance to prepare them for life lessons. And obviously those translate into wins as well. So it's kind of a double thing. So.
Yeah, the wins are definitely a cherry on top, right?
Right.
Hey, guys, want to run this back for one more segment? We got a lot of stuff to talk about,
sure,
man.
Let's go. Keep it going.
Some Bob Bennett stories. We got to get some Randy Johnson stories. I know you play with him in the minor leagues, Tim. Yeah, maybe a couple more Emmanuel stories.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah? All right.
I have till 3 o'clock.
Hey, I mention this all the time on the show. I'm like, if I could have a 3 or 4 hour show, man, I'd be down with it. I always run out of information to talk about. Or I don't. I got too much information that I need to share with our radio listening audience. So, yeah, coming back, we're going to be talking with Tim Thiessen and Kip Thiessen a little bit more. We'll run this back for about 20 more minutes coming up on the Central Valley Sports Report on 1430 ESPN. Welcome back to the Central Valley Sports Report on 1430 ESPN. I am your host, Paul Metters, one of the most identifiable baselines of all time right there. Another one bites the dust. Talking with Tim Thiessen and Kip Thiessen, just reminiscing about the good old days off air right now. And you know, we mentioned that Tim is the only baseball coach in Central Section history to win 4 Valley championships with 3 different schools, and we were talking about the Clovis West, that great run that you guys had in 2004. Kip, you graduated in 2007, but your older son Robbie was on that team, right? Kip, your older brother. But I had totally forgot that you guys made your great run as a 6th seed. You guys didn't have an easy path to that Central Section Championship game, did you?
No, we. We had to go through Buchanan to get there, and had to go through some pretty good pitchers to get there, and then also at Stockdale, same thing. We had to go through a pretty good team just to get to the Valley Final.
You had to get through a Major League Baseball player in Justin Wilson in that Buchanan game, didn't you?
Right.
Who threw for you guys? I mean, who came up clutch in that run, pitching wise for you guys?
Well, of course, Mike Cola was our go-to guy. He was our ace, and we had Alan Amati, who was a sophomore at the time, who had also had a tremendous arm. So he was a guy that came in relief to get us there. And then Mike Cola was able to come back and pitch against Fresno High, and he pitched a phenomenal game and end up with a pitching a no-hitter.
At Fresno High.
Against a pretty good Fresno High team.
Yeah, they had Sean Holton. They had a big leaguer as well.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Yeah, and that – so what seed was Fresno High? Because it was at Fresno High, so they must have been a higher seed than you guys. There was no neutral field, right?
Right, right.
And then Stockdale in the semifinals. Kip, who are some dudes back in the day? So you were there. You were on varsity for 2 years, graduated in 2007.
Right.
Who are some dudes in the track back then?
Man, we had it was tough back then. As a sophomore, we had Mike Cola, we had Amadi, we had Jameson Smith. But my class, we had Jordan Rivera, and when he was he hit like 15 home runs his senior year.
Yeah,
they had Cook from Clovis, then they had Justin Wilson from Buchanan.
Big leaguers.
I mean,
Cook made it to Ryan, right?
Marcus Walden as well. I mean, that league was tough. I mean, from top to bottom, even Clovis East had a kid named Jensen. And so the track was pretty tough back then, still is. It's probably the best league in California, in my opinion. But back then, it was nothing to – there was no slouch. I mean, it was a tough league.
And coming from Emmanuel, Tim, obviously you played big-time baseball, but coming from Emmanuel, a good pitcher, right, in our league would maybe be, 86, and then you move on to Bullard and Clovis West, and, guys are coming in and relieving, humping 90 miles an hour, aren't they? It's
right.
quite a difference.
Yeah, you had to show up every day ready to play. You had to have a good hitter's approach. You had to be able to hit the ball the other way. You had to have a plan for every single pitch depending upon what the count was, because you were facing these guys that knew how to pitch. And yeah, that's the only way you were going to be able to battle through all that.
When I started to cover the Clovis schools for the Clovis Roundup, like I said, a guy would come out of the bullpen throwing 91, 92. I'm like, how is that guy not, getting Division I offers already? And it was just it blew me away, just the quality of baseball and the quality of arms that would come out. Tim, I want to go back a little bit and talk about your path to become a head coach. You got started a little bit late, right? You played a little minor league baseball. You worked for UPS, right, for a little bit, right? And then I see you out there on the baseball diamond at Emmanuel, and then all of a sudden you're the head coach.
Yeah, when I got done with playing professionally, I kind of walked into a full-time job at UPS, and after 3 years, it was a great job and great benefits, everything. There was just something inside me that said, I there's something else I'd rather be doing, and I needed to make that decision at that time. And I really believe that God opened up the door for me during that time, and I was at the right place at the right time, and God allowed that to happen. And Emmanuel reached out to me and wanted me to come over to be the head baseball coach, and he gave me a full-time teaching coach right off the bat. And I'm really appreciative to Ron Falk and the administration, the board, that allowed me to come over and play the game that I love and that God gave me the ability to do.
So that was 1991, I believe?
Yeah, 1991.
2 years too late. I needed you as my head coach, man, for those last couple of years. But, yeah, when you stepped into that program, Emmanuel was known as a basketball school. It still kind of is. Football had some great teams in the past, but baseball hadn't taken off by then. I don't even know if they really had won a playoff game by the time you had got there. So you coached for a couple years. You guys make the Valley Championship in year number two, a great game against Lindsay at Rawhide Stadium. And then that 1993 team is a pretty special team, a team that my brother played on. He was an all-league guy and a city county guy, and just when I think about that team, I was still in college, and I try to drive to games and see as many as possible, because that was a pretty special team, wasn't it?
It was a special team. In fact, one of the players on our team was Steve Ramirez, and now Steve is coaching for us, as you mentioned, with us at Emmanuel. He's on the staff as well, and now his son is playing in our program as well. So it's been a good run, and I'm very thankful for everything that God has given me, the coaches, the players, and I mean, I couldn't have done it without all of those.
And then you move on to Reedley and then Bullard, right? Mm-hmm. And when you took that leap, was that just, oh, I'm ready for a big program? Obviously, Bullard has great history. I mean, what was that decision like, and what about your time at Bullard?
Well, it was a tough situation to step into because I came in after Mike Noakes. So, you know, it was a different style I was bringing in, but it was also a winning style. And we were able to win a Valley there. And, you know, it was just a good opportunity to come in and see what I could do at a higher level. So.
And you came in with that Bulldog mentality, didn't you?
Yeah, well, Bulldog mentality with Coach Bennett, everything that I learned from Coach Bennett, and he was a very good mentor for me and a guy that I loved to play for and had a lot of respect for.
And I do have a story that I want to share. I coached with you for that one season, 95, when we won my first Valley championship. But there was one time in practice where we were doing a double play drill, and let's just say the guys weren't into it, all right? And
imagine that.
And I was helping out there in the field, and you were fungoing, and you said, "Guys, let me show you how to do it." You put the bat down. You're wearing sweats, and you were at first base, and you were running. And I actually picked up the fungo, and I hit a ball to the second baseman, and he flipped it to the shortstop, and you ran, and you upended that guy. You upended him, and you better believe that after that, he was jumping up, and he was getting out of the way, and he was making the throws exactly how you wanted him to make it after that from then on.
Oh, man. I don't know if I can get away with that now.
No, I don't think so.
No, he's too slow now. That's why he doesn't do it.
No, there's no way I could do that now. No way. Not a chance.
Give you a head start. We can start you halfway.
If any of our players right now are listening to this, they're laughing. I guarantee you they're laughing because I can't even think about doing that anymore.
Great moments in Tim Thiessen coaching history right there. All right. So Fresno State came out of you graduated from Roosevelt, right, Tim? What was recruitment like to Fresno State? It's a lot different now than it was back then. Did Coach Bennett call you? Did he have a conversation with you? Or was Rupchich there at that time? How did that go about?
Well, first of all, I played for Stan Bledsoe at Roosevelt High School, and I asked him my senior year, "What do you think I ought to do?" And he just says, "You know what?" Because nobody was recruiting me, and he just said, you know, why don't you just go over to Fresno City College? You know you're going to play every day, blah, 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 blah. And I go, "Oh, okay, I'll do that." So I was all set to go there until Rick Hansen, our pitching coach, came over with one of our players. Dave Holt was one of our players at the time at Fresno State. They came and said, "Hey, we want you to come to Fresno State." And what do you think my first question was? "Well, how much can you offer me? Do you have a scholarship?" "Well, we don't have any money for you, but we just really like you and we want you to come." And I just figured, hey, I don't care. I just want – if a Division I team wants me, I'm going to go. So it didn't take me too long to think about it. I called up my dad and said, "Hey, Dad, what do you think I should do?" And before you knew it, I was at Fresno State, and I don't regret any of it. It was a walk-on recruit. I knew I had to work hard for it, and I couldn't have played for a better coaching staff with Coach Bennett, Coach Rupchich, Coach Hansen, and Keith Snyder was a guy that was on our coaching staff as well. And it was just an unbelievable experience at Fresno State that I'll never forget.
You played shortstop. Did you pitch a little bit as well?
Played shortstop, third base, and believe it or not, I broke into the starting lineup as a pitcher, but as it turned out, I got drafted as an infielder, and I was able to do both, which was pretty – it was a lot of fun.
Who are some dudes that you remember from that team, guys that you still have relationships with? You got
any guys? Oh, yeah. Joe Xavier, my good friend Joe Xavier. Terry Pendleton was on that team. Pete Delena. John Hoover was on that team. It just a bunch of great guys, and just a great experience. I even named Kip after one of my former players, Kip Bagley. So it's pretty cool.
That is very cool.
Great experience.
Did you get any hits off of future major leaguers?
Oh, gosh.
Can you remember any?
I remember Langston. What's his name?
Mark?
Mark Langston. I got
lefty?
It. Yeah, lefty from San Jose State. I think I got a hit off him finally. but you know, I think of other guys that I played against, like John Elway when he was playing at Stanford. That was pretty cool. And when he was a baseball football guy. I think I even played against a guy by the name of Barry Bonds when he was at Arizona State.
Decent baseball players right there. Do you got any Bob Bennett stories that you can share with us? I know, you know, talking about fungoing, I think you called him Bullet Bob. Is that what he was known as? Like, you come out and you'd have bruises all over your arms from some of these ground balls that we'd hit.
Well, Bullet Bob could put the ball wherever he wanted to. I'm nowhere close to being a Bullet Bob, but Coach Bennett could bring us out there and he'd have us. I would have more bruises on my knees than anything because he had us diving back left and right, and that's where I got my range increased because of his coaching and just a lot of life lessons and so forth. Just I could go on and on with many, but we don't have time to talk about it right now.
Did you play 3 years?
3 years.
3 years at Fresno State, and you got drafted. What round and by who?
Third round by the Montreal Expos. Nobody knows who they are anymore, but they're now the Washington Nationals. But it was 5 years where I got to play, and it was just a great experience. And I just thank the good Lord for opening up that opportunity for me and for giving me the abilities to do what I did, and I give him all the honor and the glory and the praise.
Absolutely. And I bet it just happened with the phone call, right? You found out you were drafted, like, hey, we're going to put you on a plane, right? Is that how that worked out? You're going to report here. Did you report right after Fresno State baseball ended? Or did you have some time off?
Well, there's a little time off, and then the draft was around June 3rd, and then we negotiated for about a week there, and then as soon as I signed, it was a couple days later where they flew me to Florida. I didn't know exactly where I was going to play. I didn't know if I was going to be in West Palm Beach, if I was going to be in New York, whatever. They didn't even know until the last minute, and then they put me on this Allegheny commuter to Jamestown, New York, and that's where I started in the New York Penn League.
New York Penn League, talking with Tim Thiessen and son Kip Thiessen. Kip, was there a point when you realized, your dad obviously is a very humble guy, right?
Right.
You got to really pull stories out of him sometimes. But what point did you realize that your dad was a pretty darn good baseball player?
Well, we would go to places like Walt Disney World and somebody would know him, or we'd go to Vegas, and everywhere we went, somebody said, hey, Tim, how's it going? Or you go to a Major League Baseball game and all the players would just come by and say hello. So I was like, this guy was pretty good. We didn't have to pay for a ticket for about 20 years.
Thanks to Larry Walker.
Yeah, with all the connections, Randy Johnson, Andre Scalarraga. So yeah. Just everywhere we went, and it was fun to watch. Just like, that's my dad. And he's pretty much famous. So unfortunately, he didn't make it all the way, but he was still pretty good.
Yeah, pretty good. I remember, too, Kip, after baseball games, at Emmanuel, win or lose, you'd be out there hitting balls off the tee. Tim would set up right at home plate, put the ball. You guys would hit it, go run after it, put it right back on. Those are some great memories. So I remember you, Kip.
Yeah, bat boy back in the day.
Bat boy back in the day. A lot of fun, really good conversation with you guys. So Tim, you mentioned Montreal Expos. You mentioned Larry Walker, Andre Scalarraga, Randy Johnson. Randy Johnson was on Dan Patrick yesterday. I listened to him in the morning, and he was actually really funny. And it's very dry and very sarcastic.
Right.
And Dan made it a point to say, Randy, do not I figured out pretty quick, I do not talk to you on game day. Game day, you stay away from Randy Johnson. You let him have his time and do what Randy Johnson does, because he's an intense guy. But he was able to find the humor in that, and it was pretty sarcastic. But you play with Randy, right, when he was wild.
Oh, yeah.
How wild was that guy? What was his personality like?
Well, he was definitely when I was playing with him in West Palm Beach, he was definitely the wild thing. And, you know, he would – he would be a guy that was throwing really, really hard, of course. And those poor single-A baseball players, he would just blow that thing by them. And he'd get in these grooves where he would just mow people down. But he'd also get in those times where he couldn't find the strike zone. And he would get so amped up. And I remember calling timeout and going to the mound and actually settling Randy Johnson down as he's going and just, you know, blowing air out. And it, I don't know, it was just it was great to see how he went from that point after being at USC and then going on and just developing as an unbelievable pitcher. And it's just great.
You played with Larry Walker?
Larry Walker as well.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, he went about things very quietly. He wasn't a real vocal person. He just went out and hit bombs. Yeah.
Big old lefty.
Yeah, big old
lefty. Did you know at any point that you were playing with two future Hall of Famers? Could you see any seeds of that? Obviously, Larry Walker is, you know, those years that he put in Colorado, inflated numbers, right? Talk about fantasy baseball. He was a fantasy baseball stud, and obviously Randy Johnson. What, he had 380-something strikeouts 1 year, which is still – which is absolutely mind-blowing.
He had a good manager. He had Felipe Alou as his manager as well.
Yeah, Felipe Alou, yeah. So, you know, when you're playing with those guys, you're thinking, I'm going to go to the major leagues too with those guys. And unfortunately, it just didn't work out that way. And those guys, they had the opportunity and they made things happen and everything worked out for them to go on. But, you know, unfortunately, it didn't happen that way for me. But it doesn't surprise me that they went on and played. As I look back, it's like, well, of course, why wouldn't they? You know, all the way they put up all those numbers and even having a teammate like Terry Pendleton at Fresno State, the way he played all the way through the minor leagues, he just put up the numbers, mm-hmm. and it was a no-brainer why he made it to the major leagues, and he was a, you know, gold glover.
Yeah. What is something, Tim, that most people don't know about that lifestyle? You know, the minor leagues, the grinding that you had to go through, the bus rides, the food, the schedule, and then getting to the major leagues as well. I think you went to a major league camp, but what's something that most people don't realize about the minor league lifestyle?
What they don't realize about the minor league lifestyle is it's a dog eat dog world. I mean, everybody is just fighting and clawing and everything else to get to the top. And what they don't realize too is that you know, there's a lot of players out there with really, really, really good behavior and good morals and good character. And there's many out there that have just the opposite. And just to be able to go through that and just, you know, be me and not try to be them and stick to what my belief system is and not to, you know, go off of that path. But to stay true to, you know, what my calling is, and my calling is ultimately not to be a professional baseball player, but to be a man of God. And that's something that was a challenge for me, and I wanted to make sure that was the most important thing, even above all of my playing or anything like that. So, you know, the fact that I didn't make it, God had a different plan, and that's why I ended up doing other things instead of going to the big leagues.
And life has led you to this moment where you're sharing a special time with your son, coaching with your son back at Emmanuel High School. And I know we only got a couple minutes here, guys, and this has been a great conversation, Tim. But I'd be remiss if I didn't ask you about the time that we got really sick, right? You got contracted West Nile virus. It was a rough time for you physically, but you know, how were you able to overcome that, and you know, talk about your family support system and going through all that?
Well, if I could say anything about that, it was you know, first of all, West Nile virus. A lot of people think, well, what is that? How do you get West Nile virus? Well, believe it or not, you know, you think of that little mosquito that comes and bites you, and it's really annoying, and you have that little lump on your arm or your leg for a while and it's itchy, but that little thing about wipe me out for good. And unfortunately the mosquito had West Nile virus in it, and long story short here, it just pretty much debilitated me to the point that it almost killed me. And the doctors say that it was a miracle that I lived through it, and it's a miracle what I'm doing today. And if it wouldn't have been for God's touch on my body at that time, I wouldn't even be here today. So, I just thank Him for being there and for being a faithful God. And it's been almost 8 years ago now.
Wow. Wow. I remember when that was happening and just praying for you. And then I wrote that article in the Clovis Roundup about your testimony and you coming through that. And hey, all three of us here, we got a great connection with Emmanuel, but we could all say that we're walking miracles.
Yes,
we all have our different stories.
You had your story too.
I have a story too, and I haven't shared it publicly on the radio yet, but maybe one of these days the opportunity comes up. Yeah, I went through a rough period too, physically, and I'm a walking miracle. And Kip, I think you're a testament to that, and seeing what your dad went through. Guys, this has been a great conversation. The time flew by.
Right.
Good thing we got two segments.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you guys for coming on. Really appreciate you. And I'm just a text away, man. I'll come and I'll relieve Tim and I'll throw some BP for you guys.
Anytime. Come on out.
Come out.
All right.
Hey, thanks for having us, Paul. We love you.
You bet. Love you guys too. All right. This has been a great show. We got to wrap it up here on the Central Valley Sports Report on 1430 ESPN.
Carry on my wayward son. There'll be peace when you are done. Lay your weary head to rest. Don't you cry no more.
What a great show we had today, Central Valley Sports Report on 1430 ESPN. Carry On My Wayward Son by Kansas, as always, our fade-out song. It gets apropos for today. Thanks to Gabe Camarillo back at home base. Always fun to chat with Gabe about the goings on here in the Central Section. Obviously, thank you to First String Sports. They do an incredible job here. They've been my day one sponsors. I feel very welcomed here. Got the nice banner, and if you check Twitter, you can see all the photo ops that we do here. So thanks to First String Sports. Thanks to Clovis North outfielder Cole Fellows for being our 1430 ESPN Student Athlete of the Week. He's headed to Columbia in New York. Cole's having a great year. Hit those two bombs against Liberty. Thanks to Cole. And just had a great conversation with Tim Thiessen and his son Kip, who is the head coach at Emmanuel. Just how life comes full circle. I've known Tim for almost 30 years. We coached together. I love that guy. He's a well-respected guy in the baseball community. I wish we could explore a little bit more about his time where he almost passed away. But you could go back and listen to all the interviews on the 1430 ESPN website. Again, thank you to everybody that has supported this show and all the feedback and all the great compliments that I get. We love to talk about high school sports, and 1430 is definitely the station to do it. In closing, be kind, be generous, be passionate in everything you do, and leave it all in the field. Talk to you soon.